secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. Because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth.
The silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Tell me why. I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. The whole day down.
Welcome to the Based Monday Sane Asylum.
Very bad.
send me an email.
In the face of disaster,
we helped each other. We built new communities in the ruins of the old. We adapted. We survived. Established a new normal. But there are also those who build nothing, create nothing.
Hyenas preying on the weak. They've made our world bleed. But we don't stand alone. A brave few have sworn to protect us and save what remains.
They unite us. Remind us that we are one people. They are our shield and our light. But if that light goes out,
who can save us then?
Once upon a time, there were white countries. Then came diversity. It all happened so fast. We did not want this. We did not vote for this. While we are told how privileged we are forced to give up our lands to immigrants, to give up our jobs through affirmative action, and to give up our wealth through welfare. All designed to ensure whites become a minority. We are told to accept our inevitable brown future. Our leaders have betrayed us. If this was happening to any other race on the planet, it would be called what it is, genocide. Now is the time to rise up. Your people need you.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, long past due, wake the fuck up. White Canada, wake the fuck up. White Germany, wake the fuck up. White England, white France, white Italy, wake the fuck up. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. This is the Sane Asylum, number 317, based Monday. It is April 14th, 2025. Hard to believe we're halfway through April already. I see none of my co-hosts are here yet, but they'll be here. But our honored guest, a true hero, Alfred Schaefer is here, one of the newest hosts of FTJmedia.com with your wonderful sister, Savvy, fighting the evil kike. Monica, so how are you, Alfred, and what's on your mind today?
Well, it's fine. Things are moving at warp speed. You know, we're seeing things unfolding now at it's cascading events. It's exactly as predicted in an exponential reaction, where we have things that are happening are affecting other parts of this equation. And this is the perfect storm that we've actually been waiting for. And I like your collage here where it says, you know, your people need you now. Now yeah. is the time to get up. Anybody who does not get on their feet now to actually do something, anything, will regret it for the rest of their lives, because this is really a golden opportunity. The earlier you get involved, the more you learn. You're going to take some hits, but we're all learning as we're going along. And I'm really excited about how things are going. I mean, it's fantastic.
That's a great point, Alfred. In fact, just as more and more people wake up, I mean, let me find, and I can put it up on the screen, that lovely young Spaniard. Let's share the screen. The other day I hadn't cleared my memory before I did the show, and it was feeding back. Hopefully that will not be the case today. We're about to find out as we share screen. And let's go to my by the way, Alfred's on Gmail. Alfred's on X now. There he is right there. It's at Schaefer_A3100. So I'll put that link in the chat in a little bit. But first, let's go to my point, which is coming up here shortly. Here we are right here.
Yeah.
This beautiful young woman, Isabel Peralta, sentenced to a year for telling truths. It's not even making statements, Alfred. It's telling absolute truths. This is not migration. It's an invasion. And Spain is Christian, not Muslim. That's exactly right. And so the corrupt globalist court in Spain claimed that in delivering a year in prison to this courageous young woman, says attacking the dignity of Moroccan migrants. They don't have any dignity. They're parasites. They're coming because they want free everything. That's what all these browns and blacks do. They just think, you know, they're incapable of creating any type of functional first world like society. They're not. They'll never be first world. They'll never gain the level of whites, but they could at least have a functional society that would give them some opportunities in their shithole countries. But no. The kike fuels them, funnels them all to Europe, to America, to Canada, and it's just disgusting. But you know what? God bless Isabel Peralta. She doesn't deserve 1 minute in jail, let alone a year. But this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to scare people off, aren't they, Alfred?
I can assure you that Isabel Peralta is going to come out of that prison 10 times stronger than she already is, and it will not change her desire and intention and resolve to do whatever she can, as long as she's alive, to get this resolved. And this, everything that's happening now reminds me of a saying that we had, like in Canada, when I was a little kid growing up in school. We used to hear that the last thing that the Jews do when they take down a city or something is open the gates and let the barbarians in. Well, now they have the chutzpah to think, because of their massive success of the last 100 years in culling us down and taking over our white lands, now they can do it not just to a city, but the entire white race. Open the gates, flood it with barbarians, breed us down, get us incapable of defending ourselves with all the nonsense they have pumped into our heads. They have destroyed our will to survive, or they have put it to sleep. They have anesthetized our will to survive. But the pain that we are all seeing now and experiencing is actually waking us up. And there was a time, actually for quite a long time, I was thinking, you know, as we were going through this long period of subversion, one could say, where life was, sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of thing, which we thought was a natural biological development. We didn't know it was actually an engineered development. And I always thought that if the Jews would have come out, let's say, in the 90s or so, before they did 9/11, if they would have come out then and said, we see we have erred in our ways and we do not want to continue with this agenda because we know it's not going to end well for anybody. I was often thinking back then, before I even knew a fraction of what I know now, I often thought that that is probably their last good chance to get out of this alive, because this Jewish, what they call Jewish religion, is not a religion at all. It is a code for a behavioral codex for psychopathic, absolute psychopathic behavior. Every single aspect of this Jewish religion, or people of Jewish faith, what they call the religion, is a codex to, just like you, if you go in the military, you train to do what you need to do as a soldier. They train how to be psychopaths, and they are, when this training is complete, they themselves are completely or almost completely helpless to pull themselves out of this group think, which is the Jewish tribe or whatever. But now, with what we are seeing now, is they have lost their last opportunity to come out of this in a semi-civilized way, and we are beginning to understand the only way to deal with this disease named Judaism is actually hunting down and exterminating every carrier of this bad code, since they have proven they are not wanting to come out of it voluntarily. Now, I have to make an exception, though, for this, the few individuals that we have that have come out and have done what they can to expose the evilness of this, and these people will actually need a special protection so they don't get put in the same bag kind of thing as all these other Jews that are visiting the synagogues now and thinking they can cull us down and turn us into a squabbling brown biomixture that will never be able to challenge them on anything. But this brown biomixture that's not able to challenge them on anything will also not be able to provide any excess goods for them to suck off of us. Or even the invaders coming in will wish they never would have set foot on our in our territory. If we fail to get this thing turned around, but I am confident that we will get this thing turned around, because the only thing needed to get us on our feet was a certain pain, and that's what they're providing us with now. So I'll give the mic.
That's a
back
great
to you.
Soliloquy, Alfred. In fact, Ms. Peralta is in Spain and one of the most famous. And you mentioned in your observations that the vile kikes continue to literally open the gates of borders in Europe and America to flood with fighting age, low IQ, low impulse browns and blacks. And one of the most famous instances is in the around the 8th century, when the Jews in Spain literally opened up the gates of Toledo. It's a famous instance of subversion where they allowed the goat-raping Muslim hordes to flood into Spain and take it over. And it took Spain how many centuries to beat them back, and yet they did. And so very, very, very impressive. And talk about, you know, a long ground war. That's what it took to drive all these goat-fucking Muslims out of Spain. But they did it. And you know what else? We've got one of our brilliant co-hosts, Paul, Statutory Paul from California, is here. Welcome, Paul. What's on your mind? I see Davis just made it, too. Davis Lerman is here now, too.
Well, that was quite the soliloquy, I guess it would be the best word. And I now have a new term for my vocabulary, squabbling brown biomass. cheers to you, Alfred. Cheers to you.
Well, thank you.
So, Paul, what's on your mind? What has set off your white man alarm bells this week?
Well, you know, just I wanted to apologize for being running late today, one of those things. And, you know, time just gets ahead of you. Sure. We did have two beautiful days together, back-to-back, Saturday and Sunday, where they weren't spraying us. So I was in a slightly more cheerful mood than normal because, as you've seen with your own eyes, and again, I don't know what it's like there compared to California, but It's ever present. So anytime we get a good day or two of weather, it automatically cheers me up.
Yeah, it's so insidious here, Paul. I literally was out walking one of our Huskies a couple weeks ago, clear blue sky, and then it seems they like to start in the late afternoon, and all of a sudden there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 chemtrails spraying planes, and I actually saw one where they had to turn it off. They had finished, right? So literally witnessed with, you know, in real time how they cut the stream. And then what's even more insidious, Paul, where I was going with all this, is running errands at night. The sky is now checkerboarded with chemtrails at night. They're doing it more at night, so the average normie doesn't notice as much.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite something, and hopefully we'll do more shows on that subject as well, because, like I said, it's an ever-present subject that, you know, none of us can escape from.
Yeah, right. Especially with some of the recent research that there's some kind of bizarre GMO pathogens in it, as well as the well-known chemicals and heavy metals and everything. It's just it's beyond the pale evil, and yet they're doing it, you know, 24/7 somewhere in the world. So
yeah, and I was just going to say, I think that the we'll just call it the little speech or rant that Alfred just gave indicates to me, to my ear, that there are people more salty, more radical than me, or at least on the same level.
Alfred will go toe-to-toe with you. I can tell you after having him on many shows, he holds nothing back. That's wonderful.
That makes me feel good, and plus he wears a tie, so there you go.
There you go.
You know, Paul, what we are actually it's not radical what we're speaking of. We're just speaking normally after we've decontaminated ourselves from the toxic poisons of a lifelong of indoctrination. And the way I'm talking now, there are more and more and more people everywhere that have figured it out and speak this way. And I'm sure you also will notice you cannot sit in the same room with someone who will still use the indoctrinated memes such as Holocaust, you know, and will use that word as if they're talking about the true event, you know, like some kind of truth. If I sit in a room and somebody wants to talk about history and they mention the Holocaust, I mean, I would stop them in their tracks and start laughing and say, you don't really, really honestly still believe that nonsense. Everybody's figured that out. So once, and at the same time, we're seeing them enacting new legislation, new laws, lawfare, that makes it illegal to question that. Well, you can make laws ever more insane to outlaw anybody who believes in gravity, but the gravity will still be there, and anybody who jumps out of an airplane will find out when they hit the ground that law never was changed, no matter what they put right in the books. So that's what we're at, yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's almost like we're living constantly in this sort of a fairy tale that doesn't exist, but they have people convinced does. I mean, a perfect example of what's going on now. I really do believe it's not that genius what they're doing with the whole the deportation thing, but they're turning everybody's attention away from us, and at the same time, giving. So here's an example, right? So I've been listening to quite a bit of what I call conventional radio, terrestrial radio, including NPR and that sort of thing, right? And the tone that they take is so sad, because so much of it is about this, what I call fascism and imperialism and Trump's racism and so on and so forth. And, you know, what they're doing, of course, is appealing to the average American's desire to get rid of all these brown people that keep coming here, right? Especially, you know, let's face it, the religion of Islam and the Muslims in general are not our friends, despite the fact that they're the enemy of the Jews, okay? So this anti-Semitic bent, they're turning on the Muslims, and then all they got to do after that is just switch it on to us, you know? So it's just a matter of, you know, like I said, timing. There's so many things that I look around, and I mean, people are still wearing masks here on occasion. And just the other day, I had a discussion because there's somebody I know that they got a couple of small little girls. One of them is perfectly more or less normal, but the other one, the way she acts out all the time, I know she's vaccine damaged. I just know it. And, you know, what can you say to people? You know, this is the world they're living in, and it's a world that's not created by us, Western Aryan man. It's a world that's created by these demons and goblins that we've allowed to get power over us, and it's just drives me crazy. So my compliments for you earlier were the fact that, yeah, you're, I don't think sometimes you're as angry as I have been. I think everybody on the show has heard my my angry tones, but you are more based, or as based as anybody I've heard. So thanks.
I have to laugh when you say it, because my wife keeps telling me, Alfred, don't get all frantic and angry, because it doesn't come across very well when you do that. So I try to stay cool and calm. And there's an expression in German. It says, in der Ruhe liegt die Kraft. And it means, translated, in calmness, that's the strength. And that's what we have to try to remember, is to come across so that all these people who are find themselves in a discoherent state of shock, they don't understand anything in the world, they have to, we cannot scare them off, because we're trying to express the urgency through a frantic way of bringing it across. We have to stay cool and calm as we possibly can, and hope that they do get it. And going back to something you just said, the people are living in a matrix, in a dream world matrix. This, they, people who are living in that matrix are finding it, the intervals that they go between them encountering problems with their matrix of lies is getting shorter and shorter. They can't cope with anything anymore, because no matter what they do, they're just encountering like dead ends because of their lies. I'm sure you know it yourself. I'm sure you were not born with all this information that that you have now. You've come out of an indoctrinated condition, and step by step you work your way closer and closer to the truth. And the closer we come to the truth and reality, life actually becomes so much easier, and you know what to do instinctively. And that's what we have to get our people to understand. We don't have to give them detailed instructions what to do. We just have to get them to find their way back to their common sense, their instincts, and they will know automatically what they're supposed to do. And that's when the power of us will be unstoppable. Alone the fact that my sister Monica and I came out together in synchronization, one could say. Sure, we had differences here and there, but the farther we've come, the more common ground we had. And that was such a multiplying force. And I try to extrapolate that onto our entire white race. And I say, by God, I wouldn't want to be our enemy. And we are going to come around. And these Jews are now proving that they want their own prophecy and prediction to come true, where they said that when the Goyim find out what we teach in our synagogues, they will slaughter us openly in the streets. And I say, well, that's exactly what we're doing now. We're just waking everybody up to the facts, the truth. Truth, nobody has the power to outlaw truth. That's what they're trying to do with all these silly laws. Well, the more they make of these silly laws, the more we just break them. I mean, you know, that's how you deal with a psychopath. You say, what's a psychopath?
Hey, let me jump in for a second, because Alfred froze, and welcome Davis Lerman, who is battling the brilliant flood for the hardest working man at FTJ. So welcome, Davis. How are you? And hopefully Alfred will unfreeze soon.
Sure, sure. So a lot's been mentioned, chemtrails, Holocaust, this idea of speaking with passion, and of course now the laws Jews like to make. So I'll just address all those really quickly. So about the chemtrails and the Holocaust, well, you know, they lied about chemicals in the chemtrails. They lied about JFK, RFK. They lied about Promise Software. They lied about Epstein. Dave Bihari reminds us they lied about USS Liberty, 9/11. Oh, they lied about WMDs in Iraq and just about everything else. Oh, and they lied about October 7th and beheaded babies. But we're absolutely certain they're telling us the truth about the Holocaust. Right, Jews. And regarding speaking with passion, I guess it's important that you have peaks and valleys, actually. You can sort of punctuate your equilibrium. It's good that people hear passion, but it can't just be screaming all the time. Otherwise, then you just sort of come off like a lunatic. But I think
they tune you out. Yeah, they'll tune you.
Yeah, it's like somebody yells at a kid all the time and instead of talking to them. And as far as the laws go, no, the Jews, they're not making these laws. We can't misinterpret these Holocaust laws. They're not making these laws because they think it will make the Holocaust more true. They're making laws against Holocaust denial, quote unquote, because they just want to drive up the social cost of challenging Jews. and they're doing that very well. So it's our job to understand why they're doing it and to counter it on that basis. Thanks.
That's a great point. Now, I'm sure Alfred will be rejoining us soon. But in the meantime, this is so fucking disgusting, Paul and Davis. Donald J. Trump tweeted this out, I think maybe Friday or Saturday. I'm proud to nominate Yehuda Kaplan as United States Special Envoy to Monitor and Combat Anti-Semitism Ambassador at Large. Yehuda is a successful businessman and a staunch advocate of the Jewish faith and the rights of his people to live and worship free from persecution. With anti-Semitism dangerously on the rise, Yehuda will be the strongest representative for Americans and Jews across the globe and promote peace. Congratulations, Yehuda. Now, this guy is a kike, scummy, ripoff, grifting businessman in Miami. Clearly, you know that he has been raping many, many children. I mean, just look at this piece of shit. He just looks like evil. So, you know, Zion Don never fails to disappoint. I mean, what the kike must have on him to make him dance like a little puppet with strings is beyond me. So let's go to Paul first, then Davis, on your thoughts on our great new envoy, Yehuda Kaplan.
Well, what's interesting is you look at that picture and you look to the right. Where's the Israeli flag to fill in that background? There's only four. There could be at least five Israeli flags behind him. I don't know what they're doing. There must be slack in there.
Where's an American flag? It's the fucking president of the United States.
You know, it's funny. I'll mention this. I don't know if I ever said this to you before. I think I might have on another show, but Alfred talked about that. I wasn't born with all this knowledge and so on and so forth. It just made me think about, you know, exactly how the situation we're all in. Okay, I was born in Jewish hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. Okay.
No way.
Yeah, there's a place, I don't know if it's still around, but it was called Jewish Hospital. My pediatrician was a Jewish doctor. And of course, like all other American boys, I was shot up with vaccines. I was circumcised. I mean, they got us coming out of the womb, Giuseppe. You know this. It just pisses me off, you know, when you just think about it. And that's what I was talking, you know, trying to mention with Alfred. He's really, as much anger as this can and should generate, you know, sometimes it's hard not to let it get to you, you know. So, I mean, I do admire the way he's able to express himself with the passion he does without flying off the handle the way that I could sometimes do. But anyway.
Well, I mean, it's so difficult for Americans. I mean, Germans are basically taught to be reserved since childhood. It's a cultural thing as well. But Alfred, I've had him on many a show where he goes on a rant that's the equal of anything you do. So Alfred doesn't always come off as reserved, and God bless him. And what gets me, and let's go. Yeah. The same thing with me. I was born in a Catholic hospital, St. Joseph's, but we had a kike. They used to come to your house in the early 60s. The pediatricians, instead of you going to their office, they'd come to your house. They'd bring a table and all that. And, but yeah, I mean, we're circumcised. I never in a million years would I want any child to be circumcised, especially what it means that we're like the goyim subservient. Of course we are not, but that's what the intent was. So Davis, what do you think of this vile kike Yehuda Kaplan?
Shut up, slave. You're supposed to enjoy your masters and overlord.
That's right.
Yeah. You're circumcised so you can serve me. That's what he's thinking. Shut up, slave.
There you go.
Yeah. That's their attitude. And, they deserve to be derided. It's so out in the open and obvious now that I struggle with something that maybe, I don't know, you guys could help me out with. So we see the problem clearly. Fact of the matter is more and more people are seeing the problem clearly. The problem is Judaism. The problem is Zionism. And Washington, in fact, the bulk of America seems to be Zionist-occupied governance. So we have this problem. The Jews are astride the world stage doing whatever the fuck they want, whenever they want. And no one seems to be able to stop them. So this is what they call a big problem, a hard problem. I don't even know where to start with how to stop these fucking people.
I do.
Remember, we don't Fed post, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it's the other thing I was thinking too, and I'm sure you can relate to this, not to take the show in a health direction, but it's a fact that we, as children, almost all our kids, the kids in our family, brothers and my sister, not so much, I don't think, but we all had asthma or allergies, all those kind of, and these are all, I know for a fact that when I was younger, my health problems, such as so-called allergies or hay fever and so-called asthma,
right,
were all related to vaccines. All.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
And you just see how, you know, they have just now, and as Davis was mentioning earlier about the fact that they just don't seem to know when to quit, and they're ramping it up more. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's never enough. They double down, and then they double down on the double down. It's really insane. And just the other day, I mentioned to this one individual about, just quickly, I just threw it in there, you know, because the topic came up. I said, yeah, well, I'm one of those people. I think all vaccines are poison. And he goes, you know, I'm thinking I'm coming your way, like that.
That's, you know, great. So
it's just, you know, it's just out there. And, of course, I didn't use the word, the modifier that I often use, but it's one more step. That's all it is, one more step. Because when you actually read, I sent you an article, you probably didn't, you know, get a chance to read it or something, but this whole technocratic ambition, right, and this drive to like merge us and to try to live forever and defeat death, it's so disgustingly and decidedly Jewish. And in many ways, just absolutely, just these people are insane. They're literally out of their minds.
Oh, they're violent, genocidal psychopaths. I mean, they're literally these young kikes are from birth are and as soon as they're cognitively dissonant are gaslit into thinking that they're the victims, they're the oppressed, then they have to do anything possible to survive and to kill their eternal enemy, the Amalek, which they, how many clips have we played over the last 5 years by these child raping rabbis claiming that, Amalek is Europe, Amalek is America. So it's just sickening to me. Davis, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, obviously we're all frustrated, but again, it'd be good to have a discussion about like actual steps to take. Again, we're back to this again. We're really good about pointing out what the problems are, and we're really good about jumping to like how the problems might resolve if people were to en masse take a kinetic solution. But other steps to improve white people's lives are just not so great at, and we should be having more of those discussions.
Well, sure. I mean, we've done many shows, and we can reinforce some of the points right now. Up here he is.
Yeah,
here's Alfred. Welcome back, Alfred.
My the internet was gone. I had to restart my router and so forth.
Gee, I wonder who did that.
Yeah, I suspect it might have been some fishy play from outside. I don't know, but that's what it was.
Yeah.
So sorry about the intermission.
Alfred, Davis was bringing up while you were reloading. And first, I don't know if I'll give you an opportunity to comment on what we were discussing. This vile kike has Rabbi Yehuda Kaplan, who is a grifting Miami businessman, a child rapist, and now he's the ambassador for the United States to combat anti-Semitism here and abroad. I mean, and I said, what the heck did Donald Trump do? We all know what he did. They got tapes of him, you know, raping or maybe even killing a little 10-year-old girl, and that's why. You know, but here, let me show you this guy and give your thoughts. And then the second point to give you an opportunity is Davis just was taking it in a new direction that we all can rant about how the need for Fed post kinetic solutions. But you know what are some other solutions that unite and empower whites? And so after you comment on this vile kike Yehuda Kaplan, I know you've had many ideas on how whites can band together, and you've given public talks, and you've went to Dresden when they were celebrating it. So first comment on this piece of shit, and then let's kick off. What can whites do?
First of all, the Jews, they know that they are now up against the wall. We have figured them out. They know what's coming. So they're investing all their energy, all the resources, all their you know, the people they have on the short line kind of thing to do everything they can to silence us. But this is only generating ever more enemies that they didn't have before because the people didn't know before. So this is the seed of this of self-destruction that's in the Judaic codex, if you want. There's no out of this anymore. And people have to understand that they will their entire life's value will be measured by when they figured this out and when they first started doing anything about it. Because the other side, the Jews, it's always their last act. They can take this to ever more extremes, but the farther they take it, the more they are proving to us that the only resolution to the problem is, in fact, hunting them down and just killing them. That's been the way it's in the past so many times. And like I said, my belief that we can resolve this in a civilized way without going to this extreme is that's kind of dashed that hope. Because of what the behavior that they are showing us now. They actually think that by making laws, you know, scribbling a couple of scribbles on a piece of paper, they can get us to stop, to start believing their lies and roll up the sleeve for the next lethal jet vaccine and all that kind of stuff. No, they can... none of these people that are involved in that game have any qualifications to remain where they are after this goes through. They'll be lucky to come out alive. They'll be lucky if they don't get strung up behind a car and dragged through the street, you know, until they're right. Dead kind of thing. This is what's coming to them. I mean, it's always been that way. As unimaginable as it seems now for white British people to get in their bombers and bomb the fuck out of German cities, we can't imagine them doing that. And for right now, us white people, we are with our backs against the wall. We are waking up. We are coming out of our induced, anesthetized sleep kind of thing. And we will do whatever it takes. And white people, they don't have to have a specific plan what they're going to do. They just have to understand the extent of the lies, stop responding to these lies, stop responding to these control words, just like your dog. I mean, that's why we call this a Pavlovian response and so forth. How a dog will drool when he sees at the sound of a bell. They have conditioned us to respond with certain emotions just when we hear certain words, certain symbols and so forth. These trigger the programs with which we have been programmed. You can train your dog to rip the head off of, you know, little blonde girls or something like that. And he'll do that thinking he's doing the right thing. And he won't feel bad about it at all because he does that to get his doggy biscuit, you know. But then right. There comes a point in time when you realize you shouldn't have done that. And the Jews have conditioned us to be their little dogs, to do their bidding. And all these people like Trump, he's just a dog. He's a dog obeying the Jew. There's no more to him than that. I mean, there's no hope to expect that he's going to ever come around and be a team player on our team. It's not going to happen. Just like RFK Jr., he is actually protecting the very people that murdered his father, that murdered his uncle, that murdered his nephew. And he's protecting them, saying stuff like, oh, no, we have to, you know, Jews are our friends and blah, 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 blah. I mean, this is so pathetic. And we have to, you know, yeah, and that's the reality. We did not order this. We did not, you know, choose this. But that's the reality we find ourselves in today. And we can easily get this licked if we just all have an understanding of how this indoctrination has been used to engineer the behavior or the sick behavior that we're observing all around us now. I mean, in the old days, if some surplus Negroes from Africa stumbled onto across our border, they'd just be, you know, you just clobber them down and that's it. That's end of that. And the other ones, you could actually save a lot of lives right now by sinking all the boats like the British. They could sink all the boats with Negroes in them coming to the shore, sink a few of them, film it, broadcast it, and you will save all those lives of others who are thinking of doing that. Because they'll realize it's not a good idea, you know. That's what we're doing. That's yeah. I like this picture, Netanyahu. Yeah, he's got his plaything. You know, for the Jews, our countries were a toy, a plaything. I like the way Bobby Fischer, the master chess player, he defined that very nicely, and he saw that when I myself was still a total zombie. I mean, he saw that way back when things were still, you know, great for us. When he said America was just a plaything for the Jews, and that's what it was, a plaything. Well, it's time to man up, stand up, and call things what they are, and start resisting and fighting back.
Absolutely. So, if a lovely young lady, Esmeralda Peralta, can be more of a man than these cartoon Nazis, certainly we can step up as well, as we are already. That was from Crystal Knight. What a great meme. Let's say hello to everybody in the chat. Greetings to Heavy Gustav. Greetings to Always Honest, just a brilliant lady, and regular Thursday co-host with Davis Lerman, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern. There's 7 Thomas 88. Great to see you. Burn Before Reading, another brilliant regular. Heavy Gustav's here. Anna, great to see you from Germany. Colin Denzel, there you are, a new participant. Great to see you. Straight out of Swapton. I know that guy. He's dangerous. I'm reporting him to the ICE. No, I'm just kidding. It's Dave down the road. He's a great guy. We've met and had lunch in person. Johnny Sunshine's here. JS1488. Great to see Johnny. Let's see. Modern Viking, hello. Michael Cisternino, another brilliant guy. Clasha, another brilliant lady, who is also co-host with Davis on Thursday nights. Great shows, by the way. Nightwolf's here. Great to see him. Thomas Dwyer, a talented regular, insightful fella. Boom. Stevel's here. Greetings, Stevel. Serbian Bull, another great guy. Does so much for FTJ and the cause of whites. Flack 88 is here. Let's see. Where... there it is. Yeah, it's not Flack. It's just Flack 88. Hello, Shameless Wiseass is here. And let me just scroll up. That'll work better. Okay, I think AB3 Project SS. Great to see you. You're another new visitor. Awesome. We'll get some new blood in the chat. Always good to see. Okay, so Alfred, the second point is it is justified because our eyes have all been opened. We no longer need the sunglasses like in the brilliant movie They Live from 1987. We're mutants now. We see it without even needing any devices to help us see the vile non-human kike and what they've done to every first world country. So, you know, shows like this and many others are waking people up. The noticing has gone mainstream, which in large part is due to us the last 5 years and some courageous people dating all the way back to the 80s, like Ernst Zundel, and you go down the line, Dr. David Duke. Many others who have, you know, and they used to be outcasts and pariahs. And now you have Candace Owens, a black woman married to a white Brit who is, you know, has millions of followers, and she's naming the Jew. And 2 years ago when Stu's Peter, burst upon the scene, he wouldn't touch the Jew. It was like the third rail to him, just like Alex Jones, who's compromised. And now Stu Peters is naming the Jew as well as anybody in the mainstream. So it's shifting. The noticing is becoming real as the genocidal crimes, the child raping crimes, the fact that 2,000 to 3,000 children disappear every day in this country, and you know the Jew is behind it all. It may be their minions like a gang of MS-13 or some Russian mafia, but it is all driven by the Jews, who it's proven control the world's illegal organ trade, control the world's illegal pedophilic sex trade. So those 2 to 3, and that's just in America. So who knows how many are disappearing in Canada and Europe in the third world. I mean, we have that picture of that when Clinton was in office, one of Hillary Clinton's minions bringing about 30 little Haitian kids to the country, and she got caught. And so, Alfred, we all share a near infinite well of rage and hatred against the vile kike, but what can we do to wake up more and more whites to just support whites? Maybe private membership organizations, member meetings where, you know, people come and release their gaslit biases and discuss how the Holocaust is really fake. and, you know, just discussions. So I don't know. I'm just
I think it's very I think a lot of the people that have not yet made the first step have not done so because they had been conditioned to always be completely politically correct on the narrow path that they had prepared for them, you know, avoiding those words that they're not supposed to be and so forth, and making them understand, first of all, it's like if they, in any therapy that you go to, if you have a problem, for example, if you're an alcoholic or if you're a kleptomaniac or a drug problem, whatever, and you go to therapy for that, the first thing you do is you have to sort of admit that you have that problem. And a lot of these people, they cannot imagine that they would have been the object of such a vile indoctrination. So that's and then, first of all, convincing them of that, and also letting them know that they are not alone, that everybody was subjected to this, but everybody is coming around, and they should avoid being the last one to come around, because there's a point in time after which recognition of this fact will not ever save you from being looked at as being the dumbest idiot on the block kind of thing, like the village idiot. That's what this is all about. They behave politically correct so that nobody talks about them negatively. Well, people are now, because they're all noticing, are starting to talk negatively about those people who are incapable of coming around and pulling themselves out of this matrix. And then there's a certain point, if they haven't reached it, haven't figured it out by then, you let them go. Let them, nature will sort them out. There will be no space for them in the society, civilization that will come to be as this goes around. That's that's how I also have learned to stop wasting energy on people who are too resistant to understand what's going on. Nature will sort them out for us. There's nothing you can do. In fact, you're wasting your energy and time on those. And that energy and time would be more usefully spent doing stuff that brings results, like these shows, for example.
Oh, great point. Let's go to Davis, and then we'll go to Paul. So, Davis, you're asking the question, what are some of the ideas you have to wake up whites in a peaceful way to amass political power or perhaps economic boycott, or what are your thoughts?
Well, all the above, but it'd be important that we converge our resources around one project, which is why I think it's important we come back to discussing what might work and engage in an actual project of improvement for even a handful of white people's lives. And then you develop your problem-solving capacities. There'll be challenges along the way. We can use that plan, act, observe, reflect cycle and constantly try to make it better and better and better. There's been plenty of efforts out there to relocate white people to hinterlands. That is a kind of freedom for some people that they're after. But I would dare say most white people, they like the idea of all the things their forefathers built. They like the idea of being in a community, not in a hinterland surrounded by six of your friends. They like the idea of treated water that doesn't have fluoride in it. But they like the idea of being able to flush their toilet and not have to be on a septic tank in their backyard. They like the idea of things like a movie theater nearby or a coffee shop to meet your friends. So I don't see why we'd have to give all that up. So what I'm advocating is the idea of taking over a zip code. I'll let you know when I found the handful of zip codes that qualify, and that is what I'm working on. It might be better to do something like that. And if we could actually bring resources to converge upon solving a problem like taking over zip code, insinuating one of us into the mayoralship or something, and then having our guys on the zoning boards, and that makes decisions on where low-income housing goes or doesn't go, things like that. Anyone who's interested in doing actual real IRL like that, you can write me at davislerman@gmail.com.
Yeah, look for my email real soon.
Hey, Paul, your sound really digitalized, like you're calling us from the moon or something.
There was a lot of static before. Is it okay now?
No.
You sound awful. Try and drop out and come all the way back in.
All right. Bye.
Okay. So, Alfred.
If I were to make a projection or a forecast on how what I think is going to happen here, is just looking at how it's happened in the past. We're gonna actually have a collapse of our civilization, and it'll be out of this collapse that we're gonna have to start again. But I'm glad you just brought up this thing on the screen right now. The Jew cries out in pain as he strikes you. You know, I was in Dresden in February, middle of February, just recently, because it was the 80th anniversary of the absolute bombardment of this city that was filled to the brim with real refugees. There was no military installations there, nothing of military value. It was a cultural city like there are few you could find in the world that were as elegant, as beautiful, as magnificent as that city. And here I noticed that this was they always whittled down the official dead down to 20,000 or 25,000 Nazis, you know. And then they were saying, and they deserved what they got. That was the message all the time. It was basically illegal to feel sorry or cry or whatever for what happened there. And when you realize the extent of how this has been inverted completely and totally in the minds, in the soul, in the awareness of the people in this country, Germany, it makes you cry. And when I was there, there was just not far away from we found a little holiday place to stay, and it was not far from this central cathedral, the Frauenkirche, it's called. And I went into the square there because I didn't go to the official protest march because I was there a couple of years ago, and there's hordes, like hundreds and hundreds of police there, and they filtered me out. They were looking with binoculars, and they spotted me, and then they came and they isolated me, and they arrested me and so forth. And I thought it's going to be prison all over again, but I didn't. They stuck me on a train, sent me home. And there's a long story short, I'm not going to go into all those details, but this time there, these right near the Frauenkirche, which has been rebuilt, as you can see in the background on that one picture there, they have these pictures, big posters of obvious Jews, these ugly, ugly Jews. And then they have a big slogan in one of the big windows of the cathedral there. It says, "Against forgetting." So this is supposed to tell people the Holocaust, this fake, nonsensical Hollywood bullshit Holocaust. And the grotesqueness of this crying for pain, these Jews for their fake Holocaust, and the actual figure of how many people got fried, roasted alive in Dresden goes up to a million, you know, like, and on our slogan that we had with our people there, we had 500,000. It's a very conservative estimate, but it's more than likely higher, but we'll never know the true number because it was really filled completely with refugees fleeing the red hordes from the east, especially Breslau, the city, which was completely emptied out, and most of those people were in Dresden at this time. And then they wanted to roast all those people, to, you know. And when I saw those posters there of these Jews wanting us to cry for their fake Hollywood Holocaust, their bullshit nonsense, I was thinking, how can these things still be there? In any normal, healthy population, the men would walk out there, rip those things down, shit on them to demonstrate what they think of it, and that's it. And nobody would dare stand in the way of those people tearing down those fake, nonsensical posters, the propaganda posters. That's the most – it is equivalent to I'm sensitive ears, please close your ears. It is the equivalent of when you find the person who raped your little daughter, okay, your newborn baby basically, and you close in on this person, you've got all the evidence, and they start showing you his sore little penis. His penis is sore, and you want supposed to pay him money. That's what the Jews are doing now. They're extorting money out of us after having done that to us. It's like the raper of your little baby girl demanding money from you after he's not only raped your daughter but killed her. What do you do with this guy? He will not survive another second. You will put him in chains. You will drag him through the street. You'll do whatever needs to be done to teach him a lesson he'll never forget, or his family will never forget. His clan won't ever forget. That is where the white race now finds itself. These Jews have been shitting openly in our face, and we take it. I say, I'm sorry, I can't take it anymore. I had to hold back not to do something drastic when I saw these things. But I swallowed it up and I says, okay, this is something, you know, you've got to talk about this. This is beyond anything imaginable that you would expect anybody to let, you know, happen to themselves. So that's why I say the Jews are screaming for their own extermination by stuff like that. Okay. It's like the raper of your child screams for his own death when he pulls out his doodle there and look how sore it is. I want money from you after you raped your little girl. That's what the Jews, that's exactly the situation they find themselves in. So when they say they're going to make new laws against anti-Semitism, go ahead, make any laws you want. It's not going to help anything.
Great points, Alfred. And the insanity, why, let's get everybody to comment on this follow-up, which is, what is wrong with so many of these whites to believe this nonsense of the Holocaust and these lies like the ridiculous kike bitch Irene Zizblad, who claimed that she put her diamonds up her tight little Jewish pooper and then shit them out and clean them off and put her diamonds back up her ass every day to protect her diamonds and all this incredible fucking nonsense. And man, where did, oh shoot. While guys are looking for, rather while they're commenting, on what is really powering this kike entrancement that whites are so gullible and so willing to believe this. I recently, I don't know if it's in X Twitter or on Telegram, but there was a great, somebody put together a great montage of all these Jews lie little square by little square, and I'll find it. But in the meantime, let's go to Paul. He's back. Let's see if he sounds good. Why are so many whites entranced and believe this obvious, egregious lie of the Hollow Hoax, Paul?
Well, it's what we've all been subjected to since, well, birth, basically. You've asked quite a few questions over time on your show about, you know, what is wrong with people, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I totally get it. You know, but my answer is simple, is that really there's nothing wrong with people. It's being done to us. In other words, as children, okay, and even as young adults, we tend to believe what perceived authority says, whether it's our parents, school teachers, the television set, the radio host with the good voice. I mean, so it's only natural to follow along with, I guess, what you could call the cultural narrative, even though, as I mentioned earlier, this cultural narrative is turning into a ridiculous, you know, fairy tale that has never existed, and people are starting to wake up. Just quickly, I'll mention two things that took place in the discussion. I mean, you mentioned Candace Owens earlier, and I have to tell you, she is doing excellent work. I watched her show. She interviewed one of the guys that was on the Liberty. He actually wrote her a letter. She read the letter out loud right on the show before she had him on as a guest. And I got to tell you, if you're not taking in some of her shows, you're missing out on some very good quality, I guess we'll call it journalism. That's really what it is. As far as Davis mentioned in a zip code, I found that interesting because it triggered me. There's an article along with the radio broadcast, American Dissident Voices, on National Vanguard Now, about a guy in western Pennsylvania near where Kevin Alfred Strom lives. He lives in, well, formerly the Rust Belt. And it's 90% to 95% white, according to him, because he's written about it before. But that doesn't stop us from suffering under this yoke of depredations on many levels, and especially economic. So there's an older man there, and he recently, they found him frozen to death in one of these cold cells, because he'd been without heat, you know, for a couple of years, right? Because I guess he couldn't afford it. Who knows? There's a lot of people like that. They're eccentric. And the article goes into what's happened to the purchasing power of the dollar under the tremendous financial stewardship of these people, right? What I found interesting in the article is what happened with the value of the dollar from 1800 to 1913. Does anybody care to guess what a dollar was worth in true purchasing power from 1800 until 1913?
Well, I know that back some time ago, I mean, like just with the British pound, if they would work hard for £1 a week sort of thing. I don't know exactly, but it's in that range. And now you can't even get a cup of coffee.
Maybe the way I phrased the question is
confusing. Bro, you gotta be me.
Yeah, Paul, you're getting really bad digitalization again. We could kind of hear you most of it. There he muted. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
This hyperinflation. Paul was just talking about inflation or hyperinflation, and we will be seeing hyperinflation like we cannot imagine now because we haven't had it in our lifetime yet. But in Weimar Germany, when Hitler took control of the country, was elected, and then took control, we had hyperinflation, and the Jews were buying everything up, just like the boom and bust cycles in the United States in the 20s and so forth. I mean, I don't know all the details there, but there's boom and bust cycles, and every time the Jews would just scoop everything up for pennies on the dollar kind of thing. That's how the Jews operate. And now they think, because they've got control of all the money in the world, basically, that now they can they have the liberty to do whatever they want with us, and they're entitled to it because they own it. Sort of like if you own a house, you can choose who's going to live in it. So they own the planet now because they've stolen all the money. So now they can determine, now we can breed down the white race whose value, whose produced values they have stolen, you know, by deceit and by whatnot. And that's what we have. And another, going back before Davis Luhrmann was saying, you know, what people are looking for, what to do. One thing that everybody can do, and it should be like a religious creed, is that whenever anybody mentions the word Holocaust, they should immediately raise their hand and say, come on, everybody, and use these words. Everybody knows that's a lie. So make sure, you know, I forbid anyone to accuse me of being a Holocaust believer or Holocaust younger or whatever you want to call it. You know, when you have some guru who you're worshiping sort of thing. That's the first thing anybody can do. And that fundamental, huge, infantile lie will pull the rug out underneath the Jews' feet. They will be done. They will be completely finished when that lie is exposed, because that lie provides them this eternal victimhood fake identity. When that falls, the only thing that's left is their true crimes. And you say that when they lied about the Holocaust, embezzled countless trillions of dollars or euros or whatever you want to call it, well, you know, they thought that was so easy. There's no problem doing a 9/11. There's no problem just liquidating any statesman who starts waking up and gets in the way, like John F. Kennedy and how many other presidents in the past and other world leaders. And then, hell, people, the Goyim believe anything and everything. Well, we can just tell them there's a coronavirus and give them a Jew shot, a bioweapon to really mess with their brains, you know, and kill a lot of them, but not all of them, because that'll be too obvious. So that's what we have. We are dealing with a disease, you know, and we either overcome it or we die. It's win or die. That's where we're at. So back to you.
So okay. Alfred brought up the pictures, the second set of pictures of Dresden. Do you want to, let's make sure we get to these before the show's really going fast. We're already so what points do you want to make?
This is just pictures of to show the level of the destruction of these bombing raids. And this city was jam packed, like really overcrowded with real refugees who could not imagine that anybody would even think of bombing it, because there was no military value whatsoever. And it was what's called Valentine's Day, like of October 14th or 13th or something like that. They were actually, despite the gloominess of what was happening in the world and the position that the Germans were in, they were trying to celebrate a little bit to bring some joy into life when these hundreds of bombers, heavy bombers, came in and wave after wave after wave created this firestorm. This was engineered, this firestorm. It didn't just happen. They had, they knew what kind of explosive and then phosphor bombs and all that, which, you know, how to do this for the most effective destruction. So you had absolute hurricane type winds that were generated by the firestorm itself. And people were like, the asphalt on the streets were melted. I mean, people were boiled down to a soup kind of thing in the basements where they were looking for shelter. And then they propagandize us with 25,000 Nazis, you know, they deserved it and stuff like that. Here, Bomber Harris, do it again. That's not called hate speech. That's not called incitement. Yeah, right. Let's see some of the other pictures there too, because they were recently here. Bomber Harris, do it again. This is what, you know, like, these people are so vilely sick, these Jews. And this is who is now running all of the international institutions on this planet, all of the United Nations, all of this stuff, all of the, everything that everybody in the world is learning. The Jews, honest to God, think they can implement Holocaust education in around the planet Earth now for all time. And this is the throne that they've now ascended. I mean, how sick that can it get? So anybody who is too weak, too feeble to stand up and make themselves heard and say, don't count me to your Holocaust believers. If you believe it yourself, they have to have that minimum amount of courage to speak up and face the possible consequences. But you'll be surprised. There will be no consequences. They can only do it. It's like Alexander Solzhenitsyn had written. They can only enforce those laws as long as there are the authorities, like the police force, is willing to do the dirty work. So everybody who works in the police force, if your neighbor is a cop and he's serving these people, wake him up and tell him you can continue to do this, you know, for these political leaders, but you will be held to account for what you do or don't do. And if you go out arresting Nazis or racists, you're going to be held to account for treason, because these labels, if you want to call it that, are nothing but labels for those who oppose Judaism. I mean, I just recently saw, I think, Zach had a guy on his show, and he says, the guy says, we have a choice. We either organize ourselves in a national socialist fashion and live into the future, or we continue to accept Jewish rule and we will all die. Okay, that's the choice. There's nothing in between.
Davis, don't you think that Alfred used the common vernacular Holocaust education, but isn't it really Holocaust gaslighting indoctrination? Because you can take 20 minutes on the internet or 20 minutes using Peter Winter's phenomenal book, The Holocaust Fact or Fiction. In fact, bring the 6 million factor fiction right there, and 20 minutes in with the introduction and the first couple chapters, and there's so many slam dunks that even a dyed-in-the-wool doubter can no longer hold that position. And yet here we are worldwide, you know, in the United States, I think it's up to like 21 states now at the state level have this kike rectum licking Holocaust education law passed. It's just insane to me, Davis. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it's Holocaustianity. It's really replaced any religion or any other idea about America itself. It's replaced all that. It's replaced the central myths of America. And now we have a post-World War II world order that is all underpinned by the myth of the Holocaust. And yeah, I mean, it couldn't be more clear that you have these Jews who are the only group of people ever in all of history who successfully passed laws making it illegal to accuse them of lying. Like, this is going to tell people in the future something about Jews. However, we're here now, so we had better start thinking about ways to improve the material conditions in white people's lives and start doing some projects that you know, address the overarching issue of the Jew versus the Aryan, but down in the granular, like hearing about old white people freezing to death somewhere. I mean, that could have been fixed by a sense of community. So I do think we have to do both. And sure, it's good to discuss the problems of Jews with normies. It's good to convert them. It's good to remind them that Holocaust narrative, which underpins this whole mess, is just emotional blackmail, just like the lies about October 7th. Right. And Jews, they only invent these atrocity lies, everyone knows this, to justify their disproportionate acts of violence and oppression. And by the way, and now the very thing they blame us for, they told us we genocided them, but they're still around actually genociding Palestinians right now. So this shouldn't compute for anybody, and yet it does, because they're living under an illusion that they're free, an illusion that their country, this America they have in their heads or their hearts, this some romanticized version of America, if it ever existed, it does not exist right now.
Yes.
So we have to wake them. We have to wake them up and start reminding Jews that, hey, you're complaining about anti-Semitism, but you're really just bitching about accountability. So you can take your emotional blackmail and your framing of the denial of the Holocaust as equal to like kicking a dog or something. You can go fuck yourself.
Great point. I want to share some good news that the vile kite came hard at FTJ owner Dave Gahari with his Money Tree Publishing, which I have up on the screen. The good news is Dave took the licking and kept on ticking, and now he has a processor and he can take crypto. So if ever you wanted to load up on some of these excellent books and videos, now's the time. You can pay via processor or crypto and use the code GMAN, G-M-A-N, and you save 10% on your entire order. So now's the time to get Siege. Now's the time to get the 6 million factor fiction. Now's the time to get the Myth of German Villainy. Now's the time to get the Stalag edition of Mein Kampf. If you haven't read Mein Kampf, you don't really understand what Hitler was really about. And the vile kikes of Hollywood have created this insanity. The most lulled public figure, second only to Jesus the Christ, is Adolf Hitler. And you owe it to yourself and your friends and your family to understand what he was really about. And another great use of your 10% discount is the International Jew. Henry Ford, 120 years ago, paid Cracker Jack journalists the best he could find over $4 million in their money. Not today, that'd be like how many, you know, probably $100 million to research. We're talking about, you know, a team, not just one or two, but a team, a real team, and dig up everything about the real subhuman behavior of the International Jew, and you can get the whole two-volume set. So you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family, you owe it to your friends to have real books and be able to quote and drop the mic moments, and they are in all these books. And one of the best books for normies to start is Dr. Reed Sainsbury's The Exposing the Lies of History, Deprogramming 101. The chapters are short. It's been vetted. There's nothing but facts there. And so go make your purchase today, because now you can use your debit card, credit card, or your crypto. All right. That's enough of that. And go buy some books. And now we're back to Paul. Let's see how you sound now.
All right. I just unmuted. Is it okay?
Oh, man. You sound like you're the Doctor Who villain, the Dalek, but worse. Maybe try dropping out and coming back in one more time, because we can barely understand you.
Paul sounds like he's calling in an airstrike in Vietnam.
That's right.
One of those backpack phones.
Yeah, Alfred, I got to tell you, man, I talk about having some real self-discipline when you know you've known the truth, you've been in prison for telling the truth, and then you see this kind of bullshit. I'm gonna go back up to that picture of these vile lying kikes claiming to have, oh no, that's not the one, this is the Dresden one, which is equally these kikes saying do it again, man. I mean,
oh yeah,
unbelievable.
You know, this is it. Like, this is really they I asked what do they not understand about biological responses. I mean, on my entire life, I do not know of a single person who would say yes to being made an ass of their entire life. And the Jews have made an ass of all of us, our parents and their parents, and they want to continue making an ass of us. No, we're not going to put up with that. That is not, we did not come on this earth. We did not produce everything we produce. We did not become who we are because we have been, because we allow some vile parasites to make an ass of us. I mean, honest to God, I notice myself how my regard for anybody who doesn't, hasn't even made the first step yet just goes down and down and down. And yet I've heard from other people that say, well, don't start hating them now because they are still our same DNA. Like this is such a desperate situation now. And yet when people understand this is a golden age to set yourself apart and don't be a zombie that's the last one to figure it out. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. I like to take a stick and beat him on the head, you know, wake up, but that's not going to help either. It's yeah. But I notice my rage for these people who don't understand it. I know for sure there's going to come a day when they will say, oh, Alfred, you knew it. Why didn't you tell me? You know, like they will be pleading with us. Why didn't we use more force to wake them up? That's a sure. That's a given, because this is a life and death struggle. And so that's, if we can, you know, everybody has to figure out for themselves what's the best way to reach whatever individuals are around you who don't yet know, like what will reach them. I don't know. That's, everybody has to figure that out for themselves.
Great point. I see Paul has tried again. Paul, let's hear how you sound.
All righty, how about this?
Well, it's understandable. It's still pretty pixelated, but at least we can understand you. So go ahead, Paul.
Well, to finish up what I was going to say earlier with that little story from National Vanguard, it's in the article they pointed out that the dollar went from $1 to $1.20 in value in the 100 or so years between 1800 and 1913. It actually increased, which you would expect normally if money remains in circulation, serving a purpose, and we get more efficient at producing goods and services, then money should either keep the same value or become more valuable.
Right.
Do any of you care to guess how much it's worth now? From 1913 till today, what is a dollar worth in terms of actual real purchasing power?
If you had a dollar worth of purchasing in 1913, what would that dollar be worth today? I'm going to say 0.5%, 1 cent, half a cent.
That's 3 cents, but that's bad enough. Yeah, bad enough.
Wow, three cents. Unbelievable.
3 cents. And so, and this would, to my mind, you know, my way of thinking, go to address something that was said earlier by David about, you know, we have this illusion of freedom. You know, what kind of freedom can we have when we have a group of people that is stealing the very essence, the very worth of what our society is based upon, okay, such as a division of labor and a medium of exchange. They have complete and total control over that. And I know that you've mentioned many times, Giuseppe, that somebody can, in 20 minutes, go online and research the Holocaust. But, well, it's actually not really true, because you'd have to be very open-minded to do that. And
well, that's true, right.
Yeah, and you'd have to have the desire. And what I've found is the kind of thing that Alfred has experienced, he's expressed, is there are certain people where it's just not worth your time to try to convince. You know, we have to get used to the idea that we're never going to win everybody's heart and mind, and certain things are going to have to be done, and only path to victory. We can't run away to certain zip codes. All that stuff is fine. I understand why some people want to better their lives. But in the end, there's no escaping this monstrosity that's going to affect us all. And so we have to rely on what has always worked in history. And that's, to use Davis's term, kinetic action. Okay.
Kinetic action.
Because that's what they fear. That's the only thing they fear. They've written about it. I could try to dredge up the written quote that I, you know, came across years ago, when he more or less said that we laugh, you know, speeches given by politicians, and we laugh when we hear this or we hear that, because, you know, the only thing that really matters in this world is that the, you know, the...
Oh, we lost him completely there. All right.
Yeah, you know, so much of the control, Jews' control over us to prevent us from doing what needs to be done is fear. But this fear is just hot air. And people, that's why they always set examples out of certain people to create fear for the masses. But if people have to start to understand that, hey, you're not going to get a second chance to just step up to the plate. When somebody uses the word Holocaust, use that immediately and say, come on, cut the crap here, that nonsense, that infantile nonsense. If people don't, then they will feel even more pain when things really break down, because they will realize they missed the chance to do something when they might have, when they had the chance. I mean, let's face it, every one of us on this show right now realized at some point in time, okay, we got to stand up. We got to start with something. And we all made mistakes. I don't think there's anybody here who hasn't made mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's normal. But these mistakes make you stronger. Like they always say, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. And that's it. We have to keep repeating these messages. Just like the advertisers, they'll tell you, they've told you 100,000 times to drink Coca-Cola, and they'll tell you 100,001 time to drink Coca-Cola. That's advertising. We have to repeat the messages, how to do it, give them, encourage them, and especially tell them, hey, you're not alone. We are everything other than alone. We are becoming the mass, the majority. There's going to not very far from now, every single white person on this planet will claim that they've always known the truth. So you might as well step up, speak it out right now. That's what I tell people.
You know, it's one of the most frustrating things, Alfred and Davis, and hopefully Paul will be able to rejoin us. And Josh, who in the chat says it's not his connection, it's his device. Yeah. So there's a bad ground or something. So we'll have to get that word to him when he comes back. But the most frustrating thing to me is when I'm dealing with family, and then I bring out those excellent memes where they break down what it takes to cremate a human body or even just a cat or a dog's body, and how it is physically impossible to generate the numbers that the kikes claim were cremated at the various labor camps. And it's so weird to see the look on the individual's face, because it's like they get angry almost, yeah. Because they're looking at the math and they don't have any really, it's a slam dunk, but they still get mad and they're like, no, but blah, blah, and they try to make up, they get all agitated. And what have you guys found when you trigger that in a person? What's the next step to try and break the entrancement?
Well, there's a point where these people will go over the threshold into the camp of forget them. Nature will sort them out for us. Any further discussions with them is a waste of time. I've known it. My brother's like that. My biological brother's like that. He is a write-off. I know my sister Monica once recently met someone comes from the same town as my brother, and that person rolled their eyes and says, oh, that communist. You see, like people beginning to, it's okay, leave them be. Let them reap, let them harvest what they will harvest, and it'll be scorn. Nobody will want to have anything to do with them, because they really are the bottom of the barrel. That's the way it is. You can't do anything about it. That's just like if somebody's born retarded, they're born retarded. You can't do anything about it. I mean, you have to, I know Friedrich Nietzsche said the last of his sins was to feel sorry for people. He says, forget it. People have the responsibility to, you're supposed to go hunting for the truth. It's not going to be served to you on a silver platter. And they turn on the TV and digest the crap on the TV. That's their problem. That's their, there's a point. If they don't get over that themselves, they're not worth your time and effort, because they're just not worth it,
Davis, your thoughts. I mean, you're a man of letters, a PhD. And what do you do when you get to the point where you've pretty much checkmated an individual and they can't, logically come back at you? Well, no, blah. Do you notice that they get agitated then, and then they go to an ad hominem insult, or they just walk away? How do you deal with it?
Oh yeah, everyone's dealt with that. That's because it's, as I brought up the term earlier, it's literally Holocaustianity. That's not hyperbole. I mean, this
right.
Literally.
It is a religion. It's a false religion for sure.
This is now the founding mythos of the post-World War II order, especially for America and Germany today. And, of course, in Israel, they rule by power of the Holocaust. So This is what we know. However, I'll give you the good news. It may be difficult to fight the stupidity of people who don't want to hear about the 6 million cookies unable to be baked. It might be frustrating to deal with the Jews who like to change their story once you remind them, well, the gassing couldn't have been done and the cremating couldn't have been done. So then they changed to, oh, it was the Holocaust by bullets. Well, now you've not been saying that. You've been saying gas for 50 years. Now you're saying bullets when I disprove gas. So it's important to just hold the line and understand that time is on our side. The only thing required for a man to become anti-Semitic is time and information. And the better informed he is, the more he hates the Jews. Now, we're in a race, I'll admit, with The Undertaker, because if this country is on some precipice of a collapse, then we could say time is on our side for the issue of anti-Semitism becoming the norm, counter-Semitism becoming the norm, but it's not on our side in every other aspect. So it might be right. Good to go into this this change we want to see in the world, so to speak, with a plan. You know, and sure, it's a powerful thing. I get it. It's important to point out to people like, hey, isolationist is a term Jews use for non-Jews who don't want to fight Jew wars. And an open society is a democracy that Jews get to rule. You know, all these little talking points, they're important. I think they do sink in. But that alone is not a plan for changing and improving the material conditions in white people's lives or making it so. You know, everyone better understands the Holocaust narrative is what gives moral license to all exercise of Jewish power, particularly in Gaza right now. And, you know, even here in America, they do whatever they want all the time. And it seems we're completely powerless to stop them. That may sound negative, but I'm just telling you the facts. So we have to have a plan to stop them. You can't just say, I'm going to talk about them more, because we've been talking about them more and they've grown in power.
Great points. Great points. Alfred, your thoughts.
You know, if the more just like yourself, Davis, I'm sure that you will not be following instructions from somebody who is obviously just parroting the Jewish agenda and their lies. And the more people find do understand how these things are all interconnected, the more their power drifts, like wanes, it disappears, because like people shouldn't go voting either, because they're all the political parties in our parliamentary democracy are just Jew run. You know, it's like a Pepsi Cola or something. It just, you know, the different brand, different branch office of the same company kind of thing. And a concrete thing that people can do is, whenever possible, swap, you know, like trade, just like in the old trade and barter time before we had, you know, our civilization and we have it now. If if you're a carpenter, you can trade for doing stuff like whenever it's possible. I know it's very hard in our complex society, but every transaction in this complex matrix we call our civilization is part of the Jewish matrix. So it's very hard, but that's the way it is. Like farmers, if they can still retain their relatively small farms and not have everything, you know, just these huge farms, this is like, it's so complex, so huge, so there's no single easy answer for you know, everybody. It's everybody has to understand what the problem is and come to terms with it. Yeah.
That's a great point. Alfred, the good show's raced by, and we're down to the final 20 minutes of the show. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss or any observations or anything?
Well, I'll just tell you a little bit of my own personal thing here that shows me that we're over the target. We're getting lots of flacks. I've got two different attacks from different so-called Justice Departments here, and one of them is telling me that if I'm the 25th of this month, which is just a short time away, if I don't show up in a court in Augsburg, that they will put out an arrest warrant for me. So I've just prepared a letter for them that they're going to get before that date, and I'm certainly not going to go there. It's like I will not go to them where they want me to step on their stage, stick my finger up my ass, and do a song and dance for them. I'm not going to do that. We have to stop cooperating with them. And we'll see. Maybe they will put out an arrest warrant for me. But then, you know, I'll put a sign on our door and say, if you come to looking for a Nazi or something like that, please use the doorbell and don't break in like common or thugs, you know, which they like to do to instill fear into people. They surround the house and they kick in the door. And I know a friend of mine, he was woken up the same time that they got me at 6 o'clock in the morning. The last time they stormed at my friend's place and they kicked his door in and they woke him up with a gun to his head and says, wake up, get up. But he's in a wheelchair, you know, so he's an amputee. And I say the way these things work is the people who sent the squad out there to this guy's place, they knew very well that the guy is sitting in a wheelchair and he can't walk around normally. But the team that was sent out to do the dirty work, they did not know. So they actually kicked the door down thinking that they're going after a bad terrorist kind of thing. And that's the kind of energy with which they did that. And also, I noticed the advertising here, like at the train stations, there's for the equivalent of what's the FBI. They say, we are looking for, no, if you want to hunt for terrorists, come join us, you know. So they're basically defining all the political opponents as terrorists, and they're recruiting amongst the young people. If they like to hunt terrorists, they can come and join their teams. This is where we're at. This is communism, pure Jewish communism. And that's why it's so important that we wake up really everybody with what's going on, so that they don't from ignorance go and allow themselves to get a job, because there's not many jobs around, and they become somebody who hunts terrorists, and they define us as terrorists. And with terrorists, well, we can, the Jews are showing us what you do with terrorists in Gaza. Right. But we are also Amalek, just like in Gaza, they're Amalek. So what they're doing there now, they're going to do to us tomorrow if we don't stop them. That's our situation right now.
100%, man. No, 6,000,000%. Paul's back. Let's hear how you sound, Paul. Are you there, Paul? You're muted on your end.
Interesting.
I can just listen if I don't sound well. I came back on just to see if it would work.
You know, one thing, Paul, Josh Hu says it's not the connection. It might be your device. Are you using like a wireless headset or anything? Or
no, it's my iPhone, and I think it just might be time to get a new one and upgrade. I don't know for sure, but what I can tell you is that there's times where it gets super heated. It'll actually shut off because it's getting hot.
Heat affects them. Yeah, you sound awful. We can barely hear you. So I'll just go ahead and mute. And I'm sorry that it's time to upgrade, Paul. It's time to become a tech maven.
Get the McRib phone.
All right. So, Davis, your thoughts and anything you want to bring up in the final 15, 16 minutes?
Well, sure. Just about the money earlier, the mention of the devalued currency. Just a reminder to everybody, that is not some mechanistic outcome of a free and open exchange.
It's intentional. Yeah,
it's policy. Okay, it's policy. Yeah. This has been done intentionally. Jews love to keep people in a state of constant precarity, because then you're not apt to give them much trouble. So this is a part of the problem. So how do we solve these problems again? Well, an old solution I have brought up, which, you know, may sound like a difficult one, but it's I don't want to form an actual third party. More like an excuse to call something a third party just to have a discussion. A nation needs to be governed by like a single citizenship party, in which all Israeli American citizens, all dual citizens, can go fuck off. They can be barred from serving in office and key positions of power, and even as captains of industry, and allowed to return to Israel, which the new Israel, of course, would be a tiny patch of land surrounded by their enemies, completely surrounded by the enemies with no access to a port. And I realize that would be asking a lot, because after all, what are these poor Jews going to do? What are they going to go work if you remove them from their positions of lofty power and exchange of favors? Right now they're munching on steaks with their 3-hour martini lunches on corporate gold cards, and they're rigging the roulette wheel of commerce with all these weird novel debt instruments, And of course, as they spin that roulette wheel of commerce, they're really careful to privatize the profits and socialize the losses. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know all the problems. Like, those are the problems. But how do we get there? Like, again, white people are going to have to make a decision to bring resources to bear, to converge upon a single problem, see how it gets solved or doesn't. And then if it doesn't get solved, then, you know, do the next iteration. Like, we've got to get our shit together, because we can all describe what's wrong pretty easily, but we can't just rely on some like mythical critical mass. Like, okay, if it's a critical mass of enough people knowing about Jews and their disproportionate and illegitimate power, if it's just that, okay, what's the number? Okay, we don't even know that. So I'm just encouraging everyone to consider a project, consider something IRL. You know, you can write me. If I have enough people and we have enough resources, we can actually try to do something. Just one baby step forward would be better than all the rhetoric in the world.
Right. You know, it's interesting. That's a great point. By the way, I put up – Josh, who is such a gifted – he made a meme of an old iPhone with a McRib sandwich. He's very good when he does his graphics. I mean, he did that. He whipped that up just now, I'm sure. That guy's really good, really good. Well played, Josh, who, well played. And you know what's funny, Davis, and Alfred, is just popped in my mind what Davis said, is that we need to be able to be in the real world and be able to meet with like-minded people, or at least white people open to the message, without having a bunch of violent shithead Antifa communists show up, or a bunch of whining kikes show up. So we need some kind of a strategic way to get invites out, even if it's only 20 or 30 people, but without alerting these demonic hordes to invade and break it all up. Any thoughts that way, Alfred or Davis?
I don't know what to say other than I don't have a magic bullet for that problem. But going back to the Jews and how they like to keep us in poverty and so forth, yeah, the Jews need hordes and hordes of dumbed down zombies in poverty, because that's where those are their recruiting grounds for Antifa, who come after us. Now that's a real problem. That's why awareness of what's going on, what the Jew actually is, and then out of this mass of people who do come out of their zombified condition, we're going to have all kinds of new energies and ideas. That's my take on it. Because,
I'd like to add something, if I could, to what Davis said. He used the term mythical critical mass, which I like to hear, and I'd also like to add to that the mythical high ground. Okay. There is no mythical moral high ground. There's no mythical, you know, critical mass. We don't need to exhaust all our political and administrative remedies. So just I wanted to throw that in there.
You don't pause. Just it dawned on me what you sound like. There was a great John Carpenter movie from the 80s called Prince of Darkness. And there's this ongoing theme. We're broadcasting on a frequency of trying from the future, trying to warn people in the past. And that's exactly what the distortion you sound like.
This is from the year 1999.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. That's exactly what he sounds like. That's really wild. Yeah.
But hey, but good news, everyone. Paul just said we don't have to take steps. We don't have to organize. We don't have to maintain a moral high ground. So Paul next week will be doing his own Luigi Mangione act, and everyone's going to join in just by virtue of the fact that one man does it, everyone else will just join in, because that's the pattern white people seem to have.
We got to have a show where you and I will go head to head on this nonsense, because it's always one or the other that seems the way that you like to play it, and it's not so. There's a huge middle ground. But whenever I use the proper hyperbolic rhetoric, I seem to counter it with what I would call nonsense.
Well, Paul, we're really going to get you that new phone, because we could barely hear you. It got worse with you. You went on, but we will do that show soon. And it's excellent that there's a creative friction between you two guys, and we look forward to doing that show. Go ahead, Alfred. You got something to say?
Yeah. Paul, do not get an iPhone, because Apple censors like crazy through their apps. You know, I'm sure you know that. Yeah. I don't have to tell you that. But I say, since I used to be a big fan of Apple because that's how I made all my videos and so forth. But since they have taken they have the audacity to tell me what I'm not allowed to see, and they do their own censoring, I say, well, fuck you, Apple. I'm not going to ever buy Apple again.
Yeah, and it's run by a child raping little faggot freak, Tim Cook.
You know what? Just a speculation. I don't know, but I would speculate that Steve Jobs was probably poisoned, because I don't think he would have gone along with all that stuff. Because after that Steve Cook took over, that's when Apple went completely New World Order Jew bullshit. You know, I don't. That's all speculative what I'm saying here, but that's what I just have my suspicions. You know.
Well, you know, they being the deep state has been developing fast growth cancer weapons since the 50s. In fact, I have the book something Mary's Monkey or something that outlines that. And then, you know, look at what Mary's they did Ferry, to
the monkey virus.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Mary Ferry and the Monkey Virus. Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah, that's it. And look at what they did to Jack Rubenstein, the guy who went and shot Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
He's in prison, and, you know, he's fine. And then, like, a month later, he's dead from stomach cancer. So they can and have done that. So the way Jobs went down so quick. Now, granted, if you do develop pancreatic cancer or normally, which is – it's hard to believe he would, because he was a healthy guy and all that stuff. But it does pretty much present, you know, I've treated patients in my acupuncture practice who, you know, had no idea until finally there's intense pain and then they're diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So it can creep up. But yeah, I agree with you, Alfred. I mean, he was in the prime of his life and all of a sudden he's got this cancer that's killing him. Yeah, it's suspicious to say the least.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, let's see real quick what else we want to cover. I want to ask you, Alfred, you know, there's more and more people waking up in Germany because of the increased popularity of the AfD party, which many people observe as phony anyway. I mean, yeah. We've got yourself and regular German participants in the chat that feel nothing but scorn for the AfD. But what's even worse is this new leadership refuses to even acknowledge them and form a government with them, right? So this is just like a stooge of the European Union, kite-controlled, it shouldn't even be a governmental entity, but it is, and it wields power over the nation states, which is just ridiculous. But what's going on that you know, they are trying every which way to put every finger and toe in the dike as Germany and the Germans seem to be waking up finally that enough is enough. So what's the latest in Germany?
Yeah, I think what we're witnessing now is the self-destruction of the Jewish matrix of death, because AfD is a total Israel first party, just like, you know, Donald Trump is Israel first.
Right.
No hope in AfD to bring anything of value, and none of these parties will come out and tell us about the hollow hoax, this pathetic, you know, nonsense, infantile criminal nonsense. We're seeing the system going into self-destruct mode. And I know in the former East Germany, like the East German states in Germany here, I hear over and over again from people that nobody even pays any attention anymore to what the so-called government is saying. They revile them. They hate them. They just, they're fed up with that shit. They were pissed off when it was called the DDR, you know, East Germany behind the Iron Curtain. So they were, I remember when I was working and living in Germany before the Iron Wall came down, and my indoctrinated conditioning led me to believe that they in the East were more primitive because they were the communists kind of thing. But what I've discovered after, and in this truthing career, if you want to call it that, is that people from the former East Germany were actually more aware of what's going on and could figure it out faster, because we in the West really believed we were better. We really believed we were superior. We believed we were on the moon. Wow, they were too stupid in the East. No, we were the ones who were sucked into believing we were there, whereas in the East, they knew it was fake all along. You see, so this is, you know, this entire divide East-West, coming down and thinking that they were ushering in an era of progress and peace and so forth. It was nothing but the marriage of the communist Jewish East with the Freemason so-called democratic West coming together. And now it's all the other races against the white race. So they just changed the battlefield kind of thing. And now we have the golden opportunity to us Europeans to really understand our true worth, our value, and no more brother wars, no more letting us being led around, you know, like the ring in the nose by these vile Jews, you know, getting us vaccinated against some fictitious nonsensical corona, blah, 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 and so forth. I mean, never has the opportunity been better for us to figure out what's wrong than right now. We get up on our feet, shoulder to shoulder. We Europeans are we are capable of doing it. And the other races actually expect us to do it because we are the most capable. So that's where we're at right now. It's a good time.
I agree. We just have to wake up enough white people to just demand that whites only is how we're doing it. And fuck you, kikes. The federal government, Zionist occupied government is illegitimate. And, we no longer are going to put up with having to deal with these low IQ, low impulse blacks and browns and Muslims. And look, you know, and we have to forge our own territory. I mean, blood and soil, right, Alfred?
Absolutely. It's blood and soil. And away from this thinking that our success will be measured by how many shiny toys we got. But, our real value will be measured by what we utter, how we talk, what we understand. And all these people that thought they were so successful because they had the shiniest toys and no problems and they could travel everywhere, their lives were just completely worthless, like a child can play, and they were just had a life of play. And yeah, that's we're now in a situation where things are changing so rapidly, and it's our good fortune to be here now today in this world.
Well, we've pretty much come to the end of the show. Want to mention to everybody that Alfred is now on X Twitter, and his handle is at Schaefer, Schaefer, underscore letter A, 31100. You should follow him, and because Alfred has important things to share just about every day.
I've got to learn how to do that. I use X more. I've got in there, you know, but I haven't been able, I haven't done much there. Actually, most of my stuff right now is on FTJ Media.
When's the next show coming up with you and Monica on FTJ?
Yeah, I've got to plan it still. I haven't put it in the schedule yet because I've just been over inundated somehow with, you know, so much stuff right now. But I've got to set that up still.
All right, Davis, let's put you up on X and tell everybody you're battling flood for the busiest guy in FTJ. Just incredible content, 3 hours a night every night, and sometimes you even pop in afternoons and such. So tell everybody how they can follow you, Davis, and support you especially.
Yeah, 8 to 11. Every night, Monday through Sunday, and you can find me on FTJ Media. That's the place to be. And Every show description has all the ways you can contact me, email me, find me on X, and support my efforts. So I just want to have a final comment that, because I am misunderstood. I know I'm going to get more of the emails, be like, stop de-radicalizing and all of this. I'm not de-radicalizing. In fact, I'm asking for radicalizing plus. I'd like us to become revolutionary. So I'm the furthest thing from de-radicalizing. I realize this entire illegitimate system has been designed for the benefit of Jews at the expense of white interests, and it needs to be overturned. I'm pretty clear about this. I'm only asking that we engage in a plan. You don't just magically get a new political class, one that answers to the soul and the will of white people. You don't just magically get representation for the benefit of whites. So that's the furthest thing from my mind. I just don't think we're going to succeed unless we actually have some plans in place and take real world steps towards engaging with reality such that we can change it.
Here, here. Absolutely. And I just noticed that FTJ changed the color of some buttons. The FTJ Pro and Call-In are now green with yellow. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
That's new. And the other thing I want to do is thank everybody who donated to the G-Man today, which is, let's see, today's donations are $14.88 from Always Honest, such a decent lady, and puts her money where her beliefs are. $10 from Thomas Dwyer. Thank you, Thomas. What a generous guy. He regularly donates. $5 from Bushmaster 6A, a brilliant guy. $10 from Klasha, who again puts her money where her mouth is. And again, both Always Honest and Klasha are Thursday co-hosts with Davis, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and $14.88 from the one and only Johnny Sunshine. Thank you, Johnny, for the donation and for your daily emails with excellent links. You saved me a lot of time and research doing that, and I really, really, really appreciate it. So I want to thank, of course, the great Alfred Schaefer. Alfred, you're welcome to come on any Monday, man. This was great. And the three of us are tremendous fans and supporters of your heroism and your noble fight against the vile kike in Germany. And Paul, get a better phone, please, because I could kind of make out a lot of what you're saying, but I don't know. I'm right here at the direct source. I don't know if anybody who, on the show as it was going out could hear. And Davis, thank you. You're just doing tremendous work. And again, don't forget, if you're the host like Davis isn't live, go to one of Davis' shows, click it live at FTJ Media, and there's the green donate button. And Davis puts in a ton of work every day on this. And so support him financially. You know, he's got a noble goal of seeking to do this full time. And, you know, every $5, $10, $20, $14.88 donation really helps him get that much closer. So support Davis. Support all the hosts if you can afford it. Maybe you made some money in crypto, or maybe you're a trust fund baby. If you are, share the wealth. Thanks, everybody. Great show. Really great show. Again, the great Alfred Schaefer, please join us regularly on Mondays, Alfred, when you have the time. And Paul will be back with, I hope, a better phone next Monday. And tune in tonight and every night, 8 to 11, to support Davis. Don't forget Flood and the brilliant Nick of NNR and Daniel Christos, Dave Gahari and James Mason in this time slot, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Dave Gahari and the brilliant Dr. David Duke, who's courageously battling cancer. So you want to tune into those shows every Sunday, because who knows how long we'll have Dr. Duke around, because, you know, it's a tough battle as you get older to beat that. So anyway, thanks, everybody. Hope you have a great week. I'll be back Wednesday with Scorpio and our guest. It's been a long time, but, you know, these poisoners, these vile kikes are trying to bring this bird flu nonsense back. So my dear friend, Dr. Judy Mikovits, is returning to talk about all the scams and the simple fact that no child, no adult should take any bubonic Jew job. They're nothing but poison. And don't do it. Don't do it. All right, everybody. Have a great Monday and rest of the week, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Take care, everyone.